The highlight of my day, each and every day, is the opportunity to learn and to teach Torah to so many of you. Some of you I know by face and by name, and others I have a connection with through our podcast, through our website. The Institute for Jewish Continuity is a vehicle for the dissemination of the ideas, ideals, and lessons of our beautiful Torah. But we cannot do this without your help. On Sunday, March 12th, the Institute is hosting a beautiful event, a dinner and a show. This is your opportunity to partner with us, to continue to allow us to do our beautiful holy work literally across the globe. Please visit www.ijcevent.com. Make your reservations for the show. And in the event that you can't join us on that Sunday, please take this opportunity to donate. Take this opportunity to support us. Take this wonderful opportunity to partner with us in all of our holy work. All right. Good morning, everyone. Let's begin. So we're going to spend another week on Kapitel Nun Aleph, on chapter 51. As you've seen already from this kapitel, there is so much that's unfolding over here, over the course of this particular chapter, both in terms of the narrative, as well in terms of the internal experiences of David HaMelech, what he's going through. So just remember to set the table again, although at this point in time, this will be the fourth time you're hearing me give this introduction. So remember again, this particular kapitel occurs in perhaps the, in the most tumultuous chapter of King David's life, and is the aftermath of the episode with Bathsheba. And remember again, the context of this particular kapitel is that David is being confronted by Nathan HaNavi. Remember, Shmuel has since passed away. He's being confronted by Nathan HaNavi, and Nathan is taking him to task for that which has happened with Bathsheba. David HaMelech becomes the incredible paradigm for tshuva, because he exercises every single necessary step in the tshuva process of acknowledging his mistake, owning his mistake, taking responsibility for his mistake, and pledging to rebuild himself back. What Kapitel Nun Aleph essentially seems to be is David HaMelech's almost supplicative plea to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I know that I've done wrong. You know, like it's in any relationship, if two people are in a relationship and one wrongs the other, the greatest fear is that the other wronged party will disengage from the relationship. And that's clearly David HaMelech's fear throughout this kapitel as well. I've hurt you, Ribono Shel Olam. I've harmed you. I've made a chil Hashem through my, I've desecrated God's name through my actions. My concern is that you, Ribono Shel Olam, are going to disengage from this relationship. And so you see that theme over and over and over. David not just apologizing, but almost pleading with the Ribono Shel Olam, please do not disengage. You know, sometimes we know that, you know, what's even worse than arguing? What's even worse than fighting?
It's silence,
right? We know this. The worst thing you could ever do in any of your life relationships is the silent treatment. It's horrible. It's horrible. And not only that, it doesn't do anything. It doesn't help. And not only that, but during that silence, often feelings of resentment and anger and animosity just fester and just continue to incubate within that framework of a broken relationship. So what David HaMelech is most concerned about is, Ribono Shel Olam, I just need to hear from you. I just need to know that we're okay. I just need to know. I know I have a lot of work to do. I know I have a lot of repair to do, but I just want to know that you have not left me out. And in fact, that's the pasuk I like to focus on today. So if you take a look, in number one, in Pasuk Yud Aleph. So David HaMelech says, and of course this Pasuk resonates with incredible importance for us, because this is part of our davening over Yamim Noraim. We begin to recite this phrase already with Slichos, and it carries through all the way through Ne'ilah of Yom Kippur, because it captures the enormity of our fear. We say in Pasuk Yud Gimel, Atashlichinu Milfanecha. Well, David HaMelech says, we say it in the plural, it's adapted from David HaMelech, and King David says, Atashlichinu Milfanecha. Literally translated, Ribono Shel Olam, do not cast me away from before you, V'ruach Kodshecha Al Tikach Mimeni, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So again, even without getting into any of the Mefarshim, based on the context of this kapitel, we understand the emotional enormity of this phrase. What is David HaMelech most afraid of? You know, Rav Soloveitchik discusses this extensively as well in his Ala Tshuva, in his essays on Tshuva. You know, people often think that the greatest fallout of sin is Onesh. is punishment. But the Rav explains, you know, every sin brings with it two pieces. There's what the Rav calls, there's the onesh, but then there's the relationship fallout. Right? Again, every single Aveira carries with it a punishment. You know, the Gemara says that Kala Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu Vatran, whoever says that God is Mevater, you know, we try to teach our children, we try to teach ourselves the Midah Vatranos. You know, Rabbi Nachman has a sefer. You know, the title of the sefer is Kedai Lihios Vatran, which means it is Kedai to be Mevater. The Midah of Vatranos means the ability to yield. The ability to yield. There are certain things that we are entitled to in life, but life is all about learning to yield. By the way, the best way to be happy in life is to be a Vatran. If you know, sometimes you walk around expecting things from people. This one should do this one for me, and this one should do that one for me. And when they don't live up to expectations, which inevitably people don't live up to all the expectations we have, we get upset. So then you have to be a Vatran, yield. You know what? If you live life feeling no one owes you anything, then at the end of the day, when someone happens to do something nice for you, it's like you won the emotional lottery. It's incredible. So Rabbi Nachman literally has a sefer. Kedai lihios vatran. It's a good idea to be mevater. It's a good idea to learn how to yield. So ultimately, the Gemara says, Kol omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu vatran. Whoever says that God is mevater, it's okay, God forgives everything. Yivatrimos of literally, the Gemara says, your inside should spill out, which is a little bit of rabbinic hyperbole to make a point, which is, every single action has a reaction. Every single Aveira that we do comes with a punishment. It's the way the world works. Just like every single mitzvah, every single positive commandment, every single positive act has schar, has reward. Every single Aveira, big and small, comes with it punishment. But the amazing part is, when it comes to our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not the onesh that we're so concerned about. Because the onesh you could take care of. That's what tshuva does. That's what Yom Kippur does. There is the ability to wipe out the onesh through spiritually rehabilitative activities. The greatest fallout from sin is what it does to my relationship with God. After I commit an aveira, I'm not the same person. And because I'm not the same person, my relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam has fundamentally changed. Sometimes it changed dramatically, sometimes it doesn't change dramatically. And when the Jew begins the process of tshuva, the greatest existential question is, can I repair my relationship with God? Can I put it back? And by the way, you don't have to think about this in esoteric terms. If you think about, again, the relationships that are most important to us, and you can fill in the blank with whatever that is, whether it's a marriage, whether it's children, inevitably things happen in relationships. And even when everyone apologizes, we know full well that there are some things that occur in relationships that forever send the relationship on a different trajectory. We can make up, and we can be okay, and we can say we love each other, but the truth is, it's not the same relationship anymore. Something has changed. Something is different. It doesn't mean it can't be great, it doesn't mean it can't be beautiful, but it's not going to be what it once was before. And that's the existential fear in the aftermath of sin. I've committed an Aveira, I'm trying to pick myself back up, I'm dusting myself off, I'm rebuilding myself, but my great unknown is Ribono Shel Olam. What is it going to be like between me and you? What's the relationship now? Can we restore what we had? Or is this just going to be different going forward? And so David HaMelech's existential issue over here is, Ribono Shel Olam, I am so scared that as a result of what I've done, I will not be able to repair the relationship. I am nervous that, because remember again, leaving aside, we've spoken about it ad nauseum, so I'm not going to go through it again, but leaving aside the fact that David HaMelech did not commit an act of adultery, as we've learned many, many, many times, it does not minimize the fact that he created the Chil Hashem. He desecrated God's name. He is supposed to be the king. The king, remember, in Judaism, is not simply a political or a military office. The king, the monarch is a spiritual leader as well. The king is a role model for everyone else. And when the people see that the king has a lapse in morality, you see it's so different today. Because today, unfortunately, you know, we're just waiting for our leaders to have their lapses, right? It's just a question of when, which by the way is a terrible thing. That's why there's no respect. There's no respect for leadership anymore. I don't mean within Judaism. I mean, unfortunately, within the world, we see this fundamental breakdown of positions of authority, which only hurts us. It doesn't hurt our leaders. It hurts us much more. But in any event, David HaMelech is supposed to be the role model for the populace. He suffers this lapse, causes the Chilul Hashem. You know, the Chilul Hashem is one of the worst forms of transgression that one could commit when one desecrates God's name. Because, you know, if I go and I eat something not kosher, or Chas V'Shalom, I violate Shabbos, those are things that I could, those are private averos, that ultimately, again, I could go ahead and work out with God. Chil Hashem, by definition, is public. And any desecration, any avera that occurs in a public context is much more difficult, because the impact or the fallout of the sin is no longer just on me. It's on the general public as well. So David HaMelech is wondering, Ribono Shel Olam, I don't know if I'll ever be able to repair this. So I'm asking you for a chesed. I'm asking you for a kindness. What's the kindness? Al tashlichinu milfanecha. Please, you have every right, God, to eject me from this relationship. You have every right to slam the door on me. You have every right to walk away. I'm asking you not to do that. I'm asking you not to cast me away. I'm asking you not to take your spirit away from me. But let's analyze a little bit deeper what David HaMelech is saying over here. Take a look at number two. So the Radak says, pretty much in line with what we were just saying before, Al tashlicheni ki adam hasanoi v'hametuav. So David HaMelech, so according to the Radak, David HaMelech says something amazing. David HaMelech says, don't cast me away like someone who is despised and disgusting. David HaMelech realizes this is part of the ownership of the act. David HaMelech recognizes that what he has done is so beyond the pale of appropriate behavior for him. You know, David HaMelech recognizes something that often we tend to gloss over a bit. You know, often in our spiritual lives, as long as the act that I'm engaging in, whatever it may be, is technically mutter, I feel like I'm golden, right? As long as I'm okay, meaning, and as long as there's someone who says that it's mutter. You know, it's one opinion out of 57,000, but okay, there's someone who said in the 13th century that what I'm doing is mutter, so at least I'm okay. The greatness of David HaMelech is, David HaMelech, again, if somebody asks David, come on, you have a legal argument for your defense. Again, that's how the Gemara says that Kala Omer, whoever says that David HaMelech committed adultery, Eino Ela Toya. You're mistaken. He did not commit adultery. He has a legal answer for what he did. But the greatness of David HaMelech is, he understood that just because you're in the legal right, just because technically you're okay, doesn't mean that your behaviors are appropriate. And doesn't mean that what you're doing is condonable. And that's the greatness of David. That's the greatness of this paradigmatic episode of Tshuva. So those of you who are from, I know that even though perhaps what I did is legally defensible, right? Perhaps it is. I have a legal answer. But I understand that in your eyes, you must look at me as sanoi and mituav. You must look at me as despised. You must look at me as disgusting. Ela pene elai ba'ayin rachamim v'ava. Ribono Shel Olam, I'm throwing myself at your feet, not asking you to engage with me because you have to, because you have no obligation to, and you have every single right to walk away, but I'm asking you to exercise your midas harachmim, I'm asking you to exercise your compassion, I'm asking you to exercise your love, and I'm asking you to take me back. Take a look at number three. Rashi says, V'ruach kodshichas. So remember, David HaMelech says two things. So number two, the Radak gives us a window. Atashlichinu milfanecha. The imagery itself is so profound. Don't throw me away from you. Don't cast me away. I'm running in. Don't push me away. But what's ruach kodshicha? Atikach mimeni. Don't take from me again the spirit of your holiness. So Rashi HaKadosh says something amazing. He says, number three, Shelo yehei ruach hakodesh meruchak mimeni. See, now here says Rashi something amazing. David HaMelech has just upped the ante on the ask. How so? He begins by saying, Al tashlichini milfanecha. All I'm asking is for engagement. Engagement. Don't cast me away. Don't close the door. I'm looking for engagement. Then he ups the ask and he says, you know what? I'm not just asking for engagement. I'm asking for Ruach HaKodesh. V'ruach kodshicha al tikach mimeni. I need my Ruach HaKodesh. I need my spirit of holiness. You cannot take that away from me. He goes on. Number four, the Radak says, Uba'osa ruach. So why does David HaMelech ask for his ruach hakodesh, right? Why does he ask ultimately again for this spirit of holiness, right? Tiradak uba'osa ruach hayomra hamizmorim. Because David HaMelech says something amazing. Ribono shel olam, I need to be able to continue to sing to you. And that singing, that song, all of these kapitlach of Tehillim, they all ultimately come from this Ruach HaKodesh. So David HaMelech is saying something amazing. And the truth is, we've seen this before, even in Kapitel Lamed, in other places, this idea of David HaMelech, L'man Yizamercha Kavod V'lo Yidom. David HaMelech's ultimate desire in life is just to continue to sing. Because song for David HaMelech, Tehillim for David HaMelech, represents the avenues of connection. And so David HaMelech says to Ribono Shel Olam, yes, number one, Al Tashlicheini Milfanecha. Number one, do not cast me away. Allow me to continue to remain engaged. Allow me to continue to have a relationship. But that's not it. V'urach Kodshecho, Al Tikach Mimeni. I need you to still continue to endow me with Ruach HaKodesh. Can you imagine this, by the way? Can you imagine David HaMelech? By the way, this is chutzpah. This is absolute unequivocal chutzpah. But you know what the best part? The Ribono Shel Olam loves chutzpah. When it's the right kind of chutzpah. When it's the kind of chutzpah where you say to God, give me more. Not give, you can ask God for more money. You can ask God for anything. But especially when I say to Ribono Shel Olam, give me more of you. Give me more of you. What a chutzpah. You just committed a significant indiscretion. You were just mechalo shem shamayim. But you know what it's like? It's like, you know, I'm in this parsha now, you know, with the child in seminary. So, you know, now I remember, my wife and I were just talking about this, that, you know, which is not so long ago, you know, I called my parents when I was away in yeshiva, maybe once a week. Maybe once every other week, you know, and there was a scheduled time. Now, Baruch Hashem, with cell phones, it's like it could be 7-8 times a day. So at some point in time, you want to tell your kid, listen, come on, it's not cheap, Baruch Hashem. You know, can you pay attention, right? Can you just, but then you realize, what is a chus? What is a chus that you have a child who wants to call home? Because there are plenty of children out there who don't want to call home. And there are plenty of children out there who will be more than happy just not to have a connection. So Baruch Hashem, if this is the problem, that your child wants a lot of your time, Zachisa, what an incredible Zachus. So if that's true with a human parent, all the more so true with the Ribono Shel Olam. Not enough saying Ribono Shel Olam, I know this is going to sound like ridiculous chutzpah. But v'ruach kodshech al tikach mimeni. I need my ruach hakodesh back. I know I lost it. I lost it because of this act. I need it back. I need that ruach hakodesh back because I need to continue to sing to you. I need to continue to go ahead and write these beautiful kapitlach of Tehillim. There's so much, and we'll discuss why David HaMelech has to continue to do this. But according to, so if you put this Radak and Rashi together, what you have over here is a two-pronged request. I know that I've lost my access because of my act, because of my actions. I need to re-engage. That's step number one. That's, the ringtones get more interesting every week. Okay? So number one, I need to know. Al tashlichini milfanecha. Number one, I need to re-engage. That's step one. But Ribono Shel Olam, it's not over there. V'ruach kodshecha al tikach mimeni. I also need the ruach hakodesh back, not for me. I need the ruach hakodesh back because there's more singing. Uva'ata, let's finish up number four. He says, Uva'osa ruach hayomra mizmorim. With this same ruach hakodesh, David HaMelech sang these beautiful songs. Kimo shepirashnu betchilas ha-sefer. Va'ata, kishachota nistalka mimenu ruach. Turn the page. Ruach hakodesh. David HaMelech says, and Ribono Shel Olam, now that I went ahead and I sinned, the Ruach HaKodesh has been taken from me. V'his balel shaloi kachene menel v'olam. And David HaMelech, Tam Ruach HaKodesh Baruch Hu, I'm asking, I know that I've lost it for now, I'm asking you to give it back to me. Aval yishi'af ha'pishlach menel zos ha'ayis, aval yishivenu lo. Ribono Shel Olam, please give me back that Ruach HaKodesh. Give me back this ruach. Give me back. Don't just open the door. Don't just not cast me away from you. But give me back my ruach hakodesh as well. Which tells you something incredibly amazing. We've learned this before from one of the previous shiurim. The need, never be embarrassed to ask for what you need from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, especially in the realm of ruchnius, especially in the realm of spirituality. There is nothing we could do in life on our own, including being spiritual people. The Ribono Shel Olam loves it when we ask of Him, give me Ruach HaKodesh. Give me access to you. Let me feel close. Don't close the door. Don't send me away. Those are the most beautiful tefillos before HaKodesh Baruch Hu. What more does God want from life, so to speak, than to know that we, His children, want the connection with Him? Take a look at number 5, the Malbim. So the Malbim has a little bit of a different approach. So up until now, Rashi and Radak understand this to be a two-pronged approach. Number 1, don't cast me away. Number 2, I need you to help me figure out how to regain my former spiritual state. Remember this, because that's what we said before, that sometimes the greatest fallout from a fracture in a relationship is the fear I'll never be able to get back to what it was once before. And sometimes you can't. With God, it's a bit different. This is one major distinction in human relationships than the relationship with the divine. In human relationships, where there is a severe fracture, it is often, more often than not, impossible to go back to what the relationship was pre-fracture. Can't do it. Can't do it. Couple has a traumatic event in their relationship. You could patch things up. You could put things back together. But the truth is, it does not go back to what it was before. With Ribono Shel Olam, I have the ability to put it back to what it once was before. And that's what HaMelech is saying. Give me back my Ruach HaKodesh. I don't just want to repair. I want to go back to the state that we had initially. The Malbim has a little bit of a different approach. The Malbim says, Since the Malbim says, no, David HaMelech is asking for something different. So the Malbim says, when David HaMelech says, don't cast me away, David says, you know, there are two levels of existence in this world. There's what's called Teva, and there's what's called Hashkacha. Now, by the way, not everyone agrees with what the Malbim says over here, because some explain that there's no such thing as Teva, no such thing as nature. Everything is Hashkacha. The Malbim's approach is like this. There is Teva. There is nature. In the Malbim's worldview, so the truth is, for example, is the sun going to rise tomorrow?
Yes.
So the truth is, interesting enough, that depends who you ask, right? Meaning that some will say, yes, the sun will rise tomorrow if the Ribono Shel Olam wills it, if there's Hashkacha. If Ribono Shel Olam doesn't will it, then it won't rise. The mom says, no, that's most probably not true. The Ribono Shel Olam programmed nature. There's Teva. There is nature in this world. So the way the natural sequence of the world works is that the sun will rise again tomorrow. That's not called Hashkacha. That's called Teva. Hashkacha is a different plane of existence, where the Ribono Shel Olam Bichvodo Ba'atzmo is intimately interwoven and intertwined with the fabric of my life. And says the Malbim, there are two different planes of existence in this world. There's Teva, where a person lives in accordance with the laws of nature, and there's Hashkacha, where a person lives ultimately again intertwined with the divine will. David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, I am so scared that as a result of what I've done, you're going to relegate me to a life of Teva. And I don't want a life of Teva. I want a life of Hashkacha. I want a life where you are there. Now, so says the Malbim. So what's the difference? I mean, how do I sign up? Like, how do I know? Like, which box should I check? So it's very simple. If a person doesn't involve the Ribono Shel Olam in their life, and a person does not invite God into life, then I will have a life of Teva. If I invite HaKadosh Baruch Hu into my life, then I have a life of Hashkacha. And therefore, says the Malbim, that's what David HaMelech is asking for. Al tashlicheni milfanecha means, do not cast me away in front of you, i.e., do not relegate me to a life of Teva, to a life governed by nature. Rather, I want to live with you. I want the life of Hashkacha. Umitzat Shiruach Hashem, who eats al ha'adam, tina'alinu bedarchi asagas amitius, vitazveyu al shlemos nafsho, va'azebikesh, furach kotshecha, al tikach mimeni. It's interesting enough, according to the Malbim, he understands both of these phrases, ultimately as what? As two sister concepts. First, don't cast me away from you, which means what? Do not condemn me to a life of Teva. Rather, what do I want? Don't take your spirit away from me, which means give me a life of Hashkacha. Ribono Shel Olam, I want you involved in my life. I don't want you to have me at arm's length. I don't want you to keep me at a distance. I want to have a beautiful and intimate connection with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So if you take a look at the Tefer Shlomo number 6, so this is Rav Shlomo of Radomsk. He has a dramatically different approach. He says, "V'zeh al tashlicheni milfanecha, v'rach kotshecha tikach mimeni." Perish. Haruach HaKodesh shezachisi liros b'malos kivodecha b'geula ha'asida. So the Tiferet Shlomo says the following. What does it mean? Don't send me away from you. Don't take your spirit of holiness away from me. So David HaMelech says, the Ruach HaKodesh that I have allows me to see the messianic redemption. Ribono Shel Olam, don't take away my vision of messianic redemption. Osa, that vision, Bigeula Ha'asida, that vision of future messianic redemption, don't take that away from me. Leman Tirane L'Shoni Tzidkasecha, in order that my tongue could continue to sing your righteousness. Ufi Yogit Tilasecha, my mouth, or literally, my mouth could consider to say your greatness. She'uchal Od Lomar Shiros V'Sishpachos Lefanachas. According to Tiferet Shlomo, what David HaMelech is saying is the following. Not just don't send me away. Not just don't take away your hashkacha. Not just don't take away your Ruach HaKodesh. But David HaMelech was endowed with a very special Ruach HaKodesh. He was endowed with the Ruach HaKodesh that always enabled him to see messianic redemption. Now you'll ask, why does David HaMelech have the schus? What's his schus? What's his merit to see messianic redemption? It's very simple. What's his schus? What's his merit? He's the Zayda. Right? He's the Zayda of Mashiach. Right? So the Zayda has special zechuyos, right? The grandfather has special privileges. He has the ability to always see messianic redemption, but on a deeper level, what is the Tiferet Shlomo saying? David HaMelech is saying like this, Ribono Shel Olam, you need to understand, you God need to understand something, which is, I need to be able to see messianic redemption. Why? Because what David HaMelech is saying is the following, I know that the hardships in my life are just beginning. And they are, because remember, it was with the episode of Bathsheba that David HaMelech's life begins really a significant downward spiral. Downward spiral, by the way, which he never really comes out of. It continues just a downward spiral. Remember what's happening when David HaMelech is on his deathbed? We spoke about this a few weeks ago, I think. We did. Adonio ben Chagis, right? There's a rebellion. There's another son that's launching a rebellion. He's dying. He's literally dying. And Adonio ben Chagis is proclaiming himself king. There's no shalom for David HaMelech. Like we always say, whatever problems we have, David HaMelech had all of them and then some. And then some. So this is the beginning of a downward spiral that continues until the end of his 70 years. So David HaMelech saying, Baal Shalom, the only thing that keeps me afloat, the only thing that allows me to keep my head above water, is that image or that knowledge or that vision of messianic redemption. Because what messianic redemption represents is the knowledge that all the pieces that feel to be disconnected and disparate in this world come together to form a beautiful tapestry of messianic redemption. You know, the most beautiful thing about Mashiach, the truth is, this event occurs twice in life. After 120, the most beautiful part of Olam Haba, you know, again, depending on your orientation, Olam Hazeh, depends on how excited you are for Olam Haba. So if I'm a person who's very shakuah, if I'm very immersed in materialism, then the truth is, let's be honest, Olam Haba does not sound all that exciting. Because when the Rambam tells you that we're going to sit by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to sit at his feet, and we're going to derive benefit from the Shekhinah, so again, I'm looking for, okay, and what else? Like, is there a tea room? You know, is there something, right? Is there, you know, is it apartments? Is it townhouses? Can I get a standalone structure? You know, what exactly is there? And again, on a serious level, it's really true, because sometimes the reason why we don't live lives of achak yelo b'chol yom sheyavo, the reason why I'm not, is because, to be honest, I kind of like my life. And I'm pretty happy with the way that it is. And the notion that I have to shift that material spiritual equilibrium that I feel like I have now might not be so exciting for me. These are conversations we have to have with ourselves, right? Late at night when it's quiet and no one else is around. I have to ask myself what my orientation is. But anyway, after 120 and after Mashiach comes, one of the greatest moments is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows us how all of the events of our life and all of the events of Klal Yisrael all fit into a perfect tapestry, that nothing is random. The greatest pain we experience in life is when things happen to us and we don't understand why. But nothing is random. Everything is part of that tapestry. So David HaMelech is saying, you know, I need messianic vision. Because messianic vision reminds me that everything fits into the tapestry. Nothing is random. Everything has a purpose. Everything has a tachlis. And if you take that vision away from me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you take that Ruach HaKodesh away from me, I don't know how I'm going to be able to survive all of the difficulties, tumultuousness, trials and tribulations that I know is coming down the pike for me. So therefore, again, it's not just enough, Ah Tashlichini Milfanecha. Yes, that's number one. But Ruach Kodeshecha, I need my messianic vision. Because without that knowledge, without that vision of how things are going to be okay, of how things fit together, I don't know that I will be able to weather the storms of my life. So if we bring this all together, what we have over here is a variety of different approaches. So on one hand, we have Rashi and Radak understanding that Al Tashlichini Milfanecha V'Ruach Kodeshecha Al Tikach Mimeni are two separate asks. The first ask is, don't lock me out. Don't lock me out. Al Tashlichini Milfanecha. Once you tell me you're not going to lock me out, by the way, V'Ruach Kodeshecha Al Tikach Mimeni, I also would like my Ruach HaKodesh back. I know I lost it because of my actions. I know I'm being a little bit chutzpedik, but I'm asking for my Ruach HaKodesh back. That's Rashi Radak. Malbim, one request. One request. The one request is, Ribono Shel Olam, do not kick me out from the world of Hashkacha and relegate me to the world of Teva. I don't want to live in the natural world. I want to live in your world. I want to live Hashkacha. I'm asking you to let me back in so that I can invite you back into my life and lead a life of Hashkacha. And the Tiferes Shlomo, not any Ruach HaKodesh, but Messianic Ruach HaKodesh. And I need that Messianic Ruach HaKodesh because without it, without that vision, and without that knowledge, that everything in life is part of a tapestry, that everything in life somehow is Latov, that everything that occurs somehow has its place, has its order, I don't know how I can make it through the trials and tribulations of life. But ultimately, why does David HaMelech ask all of these things? So I forgot to put one source on the page. I truly apologize. Rav Hirsch. Rav Hirsch writes the following. He says like this. I just want to read this to you. He says, do not cast me away. He says, thou didst find me worthy of being appointed messenger and servant for thy work in the midst of the Jewish people and among men in general. David said, Baruch Sha'olam, you chose me. Right, you chose me. Remember, we've spoken about many times. David HaMelech was quite content to what?
To be a shepherd.
To be a shepherd. He just wanted to be. David HaMelech was content to go ahead, be away from people, be away in the field, just be with the sheep. He was happy to live a life of quiet and obscurity. Ribono Shel Olam, you chose me. You chose me. And do not now cast me away like a tool that has grown useless. Do not take from me Ruach Kodeshecha, thy Holy Spirit, which thou hadst placed upon me so that I might be able to fulfill my task. So David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, you chose me because you feel that I have a higher calling. Don't forget that now. I agree with you. I didn't want that higher calling for a long time. But now I feel it in my kishkas. Now I feel it in coursing through my veins. I have something bigger to accomplish. I have some destiny to accomplish. But I can't accomplish that destiny without you. I can't accomplish that destiny without Ruach Kodeshecha. Whatever Ruach HaKodesh it is, whether it's the spirit of prophecy, whether it's the spirit of Hashkacha, whether it's messianic vision, whatever it is, Ribono Shel Olam, I can only be me if you are able to be you. Only if you, God, are God to me and bring me back in and give me back my kochos, then and only then could I be me. So I think this Rav Hirsch is beautiful because, again, what David HaMelech is ultimately saying to Ribono Shel Olam, and by the way, this is exceptionally important because you have to ask ourselves, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for a lot of things. The question we have to ask ourselves is, why? Why am I asking for it? Why am I asking? We all have reflexive asks. I ask for parnasa. I ask for health. I ask for children. I ask for marriage. I ask for all different things. Mm-hmm. Why? Why am I making the ask? You know where this comes up? The Arachaim in the beginning of Parshas Bechukos asked this question. The Torah says, very strange pasuk, in so God says, if you listen to my Torah, listen to my mitzvos, and you do what I ask you to do, so the Torah gives a whole list of material blessings. I'm going to give you rains and your sheep won't miscarry and all these beautiful material blessings. The Archaim HaKadosh asks, what's going on over here? What's going on over here? Meaning we have a concept, first of all, that there's not always material reward for blessings in this world. Furthermore, again, why are we linking spiritual accomplishment with material blessing? It seems to be cheapening material blessing. So the Archaim HaKadosh says you have it all wrong. The Torah is not talking about reward for my mitzvos. What the Torah is saying is, why does the Jew ask for Gashmius? Why does the Jew ask for material blessing? It's only to enable my Ruchnius. I say, Ribono Shel Olam, here is the deal. If I could pay my bills and have a little bit left over, maybe even take a vacation, right? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you could give me my parnasa, understand what that does. If you lift that lachatz, if you lift that pressure from my shoulders, then I could focus on spirituality. Then I could focus on Ruchnius. If you give me health, then I don't have to be preoccupied with my health challenges. Instead, I could devote myself to your service. This is how, and this is very important, because often we ask for a whole bunch of things and we forget to ask ourselves why. So meaning sometimes I ask for Parnassa, but I ask for Parnassa because why? Why? Because money's good. Because who doesn't like money? Come on, you should admit it. Everybody likes money. Nobody should be such a tzaddik, right? I'm saying, because money's good, so of course I like money. If that's why I'm asking, then that is a hollow ask. If I say, Ribono Shel Olam, if you give me more, then I could pay my bills, then I could pay my tuitions, I could support most of those, then I could give more tzedakah, I could do more hachnasas arachim. Yes, I'm not such a tzaddik. I'm not going to say I'm not going to enjoy it for myself as well. Yes, it would be nice to enjoy it as well, but that's not the goal. The goal is to be able to further my ruchnius. So at David HaMelech, what Rav Hirsch is adding in over here is, David HaMelech, Ribono Shel Olam, I need you to understand, by the way, this is so important, because whenever we ask things from God, we have to imagine Ribono Shel Olam standing for us and ask, okay, I hear what you're asking for. Tell me why you need it. Tell me why you want it. And being able to answer that question is exceptionally instructive for framing what we ask and how we ask. So I'm asking these things. Why? Because I have a destiny. I have a destiny. And I cannot fulfill my destiny if I am on the other side of the divine door. I cannot fulfill my destiny if you don't give me back my Ruach HaKodesh. So yes, I'm making the ask, but I'm not making the ask because I want. I'm making the ask because I need. I need what? I need to fulfill my destiny in life. I need to self-actualize. Now, David HaMelech, of course, is fortunate because he knows what his destiny is. He knows what his destiny is because Ribono Shel Olam told him what his destiny is. Many of us have a much more difficult time because we try to navigate and figure out what is our destiny. And we live life with the gnawing agony of wondering, have I missed the mark? Have I actualized my destiny? And remember, that's the great challenge of life. We never really know. After 120 is when we find out if we truly self-actualized or not, if we seized our destiny or not. But at least in the context of Dharma Talam Sibon Shalom, I need these things back because I have to self-actualize. I need these things back at the end of the day because without them, I cannot fulfill my destiny. Let me share with you one last approach, and with this we'll conclude for today. So interesting enough, I want to use the parsha kind of as a backdrop to this. So in number 7, remember this week's parsha is Parsha Yisro. So the Torah says the following: Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe Is Kol Asher Asa Elokim LeMoshe Uli Yisrael Amo. So Yisro the Kohen Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard all that God did for Moshe and the Jewish people. Ki Otzi Hashem Es Yisrael Mitzrayim. God took the Jewish people out of Egypt. So Rashi HaKadosh says, Vayishma Yisro heard. So Rashi says, Ma Shmua Shama Uba. What did he hear that made him come to join Klal Yisrael? So Rashi quotes the Gemara, Kriyas Yamsuf Milchames Amalek. So Rashi is actually quoting from over here from number 9, from a Gemara in Meseches Zvachim, which has a three-way machlokes. Ma Shmua Shama Uba. What did Yisro hear that motivated him to pick up and to come join Klal Yisrael. So it's very machlokes. So again, just outside, Rabbi Yeshua says that he heard about the war with Amalek, the Jewish victory over Amalek, which was in the last week's parasha. Rabbi Elazar Hamodi says he heard about Sinaitic revelation. He heard about the giving of the Torah. Meaning, according to this approach, Torah is not in chronological order. Even though Yisrael comes before Sinaitic revelation, it was in fact the revelation that urged him to come. And Rabbi Elazar says that it was Kriyas Yamsuf. They're about the splitting of the sea. So the fundamental question that almost all of the Mefarshim ask is, what do you mean, Ma Shmua Shama Uba? What do you mean, what did Yisro hear that made him want to come join Klal Yisrael? The Pasuk says explicitly, right? In number 7, the Pasuk answers that question. It says, Vayishma Yisro. Yisro heard, what did he hear? Ki Otzi Hashem Es Yisrael Mimitzrayim. Well, what are you asking? What are you asking? What did he hear? Pasuk says he heard about Exodus, and that's why he came. So obviously, when Rashi, when the Gemara says Mashmu Hashama Uba, what did he hear that made him come? The Gemara is asking a deeper question. So if you take a look at number 10, there's a beautiful sefer called the Shemen Hatov, which I have to give credit. I never heard of it before. I heard of my friend quote it. So he quoted it as a beautiful sefer, Shemen Hatov, a contemporary sefer. See, he says, listen to this. Listen to how profound this is. Kol bal tshuva v'ger, af shemuchan lekabel haTorah, mikol makom yorei delo yiskabel ki Yehudi sholim. So says the Shemen HaTov, something absolutely amazing. What does every single bal tshuva and every single ger worry about most? Worry about most? Fitting in. And the truth is, for the most part, they often do not. They often do not. Right? And by the way, that's a bad thing. That's a bad thing on the FFBs, right? Right? All right? Meaning we have to make sure that our communities are much more inclusive and that a Baal Tshuva doesn't feel on the outside. It doesn't feel like I don't fit in, or that a Ger, again, it's much more pronounced, or the convert. But this is the reality. The reality is that Judaism especially, which is such a familial religion and so much is multi-generational, so the Baal Tshuva, the Ger wonders, am I going to fit in or not? It says the Shemana Tov something absolutely amazing. He says, Mikol Makom Yorei Delo Yiskabel Ki Yehudi Shalem. Ki Yehudi Shalem. So you say to yourself, oh, that's not true. Of course, we accept everyone. Let's be honest. There are people who turn down Shiduchim because if there's a family of Bali Tshuva, and there are people who turn down Shiduchim because of Geras. We are sometimes we walk around a bit too much with our nose in the air. So the best part, of course, is when Bali Tshuva turned down Shiduchim from Bali Tshuva. Then Mamish. Then you really fit in. Now you fit in. Right? So says the Shemana Tov something amazing. He says, this is a dynamic that exists. Am I going to fit into the club? Or perhaps if I'm a Baal Tshuva, I'm a Ger, I'm going to be like a second class citizen within Klal Yisrael. The Zeh Gam, get ready for this. This is amazing. Gam Chashosho Shal Yisro De'ulai Lo Yiskabel Lagamri. Says the Shemana Tov, this was Yisro's concern as well. Yisro's concern is that, listen, I'm a big shot over here in Midian. I'm going to join, I'm going to convert. And remember again, by the way, there are legitimate issues, right? What Shevet is a Ger a part of? None. Right? Again, ultimately, as they have children, those children marry into, they'll become, but a Ger doesn't have a tribal affiliation, which means that in biblical Israel, where does a Ger live? Where does a Ger live? All of Eretz Yisrael is divided up among the Shvatim. So there is, meaning, it's a real issue. It's a real issue. And it's less today, but it's much more pronounced in biblical Israel. So Yisro felt like, what am I going to do? I'm going to join Klal Yisrael. I want to join, but am I really ever going to be accepted? So says the Shemar HaTov something so beautiful. He goes on, he says, Kriyas Yamsuf, Shirak Esmo Mitzrayim. But ultimately, when Yisro hears about Kriyas Yamsuf, and I remember again, Klal Yisro at the time of Kriyas Yamsuf were not tzaddikim. We were not great. After all, remember again, we're complaining to Moshe Rabbeinu, why did you take us out? We crossed Yamsuf, the Gemara says, with our Avodah Zarah. We took idols with us through the parted Red Sea. When Yisro sees, the spiritually low standing of Klal Yisrael, and yet they still went through Yamsuf. So what does Yisrael see? The Ribono Shel Olam loves everyone. He doesn't just love the spiritually elite. He doesn't just love the natural born Jews. He doesn't just love the Jews who have always been observant. He loves everyone. V'harayo, what's the proof to that? He split the sea for everyone. V'gam elu sha'amru napal tipalem kulam amru shira v'lo haya hevdel bein yudi echad l'sheni ela kulam pe'echad amru ashira la'ashem kigo oga. And furthermore, all of Klal Yisrael sang shira together. We all sang shira together. There was no division within the classes. There was no division amongst the tribes. There was Jewish unity. Everyone is looked at biyachad. V'chein rabim l'chamas Amalek. Similarly, what happened with Amalek? Moshe says to Yoshua, Bechar lanu anoshim. So listen to this. Moshe says to Yoshua, choose for us some people to go out to war. So perish Rashi, leave alach, heshei olo. Moshe Rabbeinu puts Yoshua in the same category as himself, and puts Klal Yisrael in the same category as the two of them. Mikan amru, yichavot chavercha chaviv alaf kishalach. Im kein, ra'a yiso shebechlal Yisrael kol shavim. V'achein bal yisgayr. So again, without getting into all the details, the Shemin HaTov is saying what Rashi is asking is the following. Mashmu ashama uba means Yisrael had wanted to convert for a very long time. What made him come now? Why didn't he join Klal Yisrael earlier? Why now? Remember again, at this point in time, we're a good almost 2 months out of Egypt. Why didn't he join us earlier? So the Shemin HaTov says, because Yisrael was reticent, he was concerned, will I really be accepted or not? But when he sees Kriyas Yam Suf, that God does this miracle for everyone, all the Jews, sinners and not right, pious, not so pious, all of us are beloved by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he sees Matan Torah, where we all say Na'aseh V'Nishma, when he hears Moshe speak to Yoshua as a peer, not speaking down to him, he realizes that Judaism is a religion of unity, that Judaism is truly a religion of V'yahavta Re'acha Kamocha, that we love every single person, no matter what their origin, no matter what their background. Yisro says, okay, finally I see, I feel comfortable enough to come and join the ranks of the Jewish people. But if you take a look at number 11, this is from the Sefer Eish Kodesh. So the Rebbe Piazetzna has a dramatically different take on this. And the Rebbe says the following. This, you could see, this is Rebbe and Parashas Yisro. So I've spoken about the Eish Kodesh before. Rav Klonimus Kama Shapira was the Rebbe of Piazetzna. You could see again a little bit of his biography. And Piazetzna is a small town, not far from Warsaw. And the Rebbe was the Hasidish Rebbe. In the Warsaw ghetto, he essentially became the Rebbe of the ghetto. Not the Rav of the ghetto, but the Rebbe of the ghetto. And every Shabbos that they were able to have a minyan, they would have a minyan, and he would give a drasha. These drashas were written down, were hidden in a canister in the Warsaw ghetto. And afterwards, the Rebbe himself was murdered by the Nazis, Yimach Shem V'Zichram. But the drashos were preserved, and they were put together in a sefer called Eish Kodesh. We know the date that every single drasha was given. We know the circumstances that every single drasha was given. These drashos given between 1939 and 1943. And amazingly enough, the tone of the drashos changes over the years. It starts really with incredible optimism. We're going to get through this, to ultimately the drashos being about strengthening ourselves to die al Kiddush Hashem. But the Piazetzna was a remarkable neshama, who was able to, you know, it's easy to give chizuk to someone else who's suffering when your life is good. You know, I'm in a good place, I can give chizuk to someone else. But when you yourself are suffering, when you yourself have watched your family been decimated, when you yourself have seen your entire life go up in flames, to be optimistic enough that you could give others who are suffering, maybe even not as much as you're suffering, chizuk is an incredible neshama. So the Rebbe says over here the following. The Rebbe quotes this same idea, Ma Shmua Shama Uba. So what the Rebbe understands, the question to be is the following. He says what Rashi is really asking is like this. Rashi is asking, take a look at paragraph B. Paragraph B, he says, about Kabbalah Satorah B'Midbar Haisa. So remember, the Rebbe answers this question of what was happening with Yisro through a different issue. Kabbalah, I think we've spoken this out in the past, actually. Remember, the Torah was given literally in the middle of nowhere. Meaning, not just literally in the middle of nowhere, to the point that if you go to try to find Har Sinai today, do we know where Har Sinai is? No. We know the region of Har Sinai. Certainly we know the Sinai Desert. We know where Har Sinai, the region. But we do not know where that mountain was, which of course is so strange, because as a people, we really put a lot of significance on landmarks. Right? The Harabayis is the most important place to us. Kever Rachel, Marasa Machpelah, the Arizal was instrumental in identifying all of the modern day Kvarim that we have in Eretz Yisrael. So again, we're very much into Makomos Kedoshim. It's important to us. So how could it be that the site of the greatest revelation our people ever experienced has just simply disappeared into the sands of obscurity? How could it be that we don't, I mean, it should be a place to make a pilgrimage. It should be a place to go to Har Sinai. So, says the Rebbe something amazing. He says it's possible. Lahad sheisa b'sefer Hakadosh Beisar. Now, divrei Rashi, shema yisal shelo yeh lipcha chalok al hamakom va'ar b'kadshom. Now, interesting enough, what he's pointing out over here is the following. Let me tell you this outside. The pasuk says, "V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha b'chalav vavecha." You should love Hakadosh Baruch Hu with all of your heart. So, Rashi Hakadosh says, "Shelo yeh lipcha chalok al hamakom," which literally means your heart should not be divided against God. What does that mean? Don't be a fair-weather Jew. Right? Meaning everybody loves the Ribbono Shel Olam when he does good things for us. But as soon as things don't start going our way, why us? Right? Why God? Keli, lama zani. Why are you doing this? So Chesh Baruch Torah says, Shvahat Hashem kecha b'chal levadecha, shelo yeh lipcha chalok al hamakom. If you're going to be in, then be in. Right? It's no different than any other relationship. If you're just going to be in a relationship, if you're just going to be in a marriage when times are good, but as soon as times are difficult, I'm sorry, you know what, call me back when things are better. That's not a relationship. You're going to be a friend when times are good, but you're not there in times. That's not a relationship. If I want a relationship with Baruch Hu, I have to be Moshe, I'm in. I am in. Good times, difficult times, my heart is not going to be divided against you. Whatever you throw my way, I love you, and I am in this relationship. So the Rebbe quotes an amazing drasha from the Sefer Beis Aharon. He says, "Shelo yeh lipcha chalak al hamakom," also means something else. It means, do not think that you could only have a relationship with God in certain places. Shelo yeh lipcha chalak al hamakom. Makom, quite literally. Don't think that v'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha could only occur in certain places, but not in others. Shelo tomar b'makom hazeh efshar la'avod es Hashem, o b'makom hazeh i'efshar. I can worship God here, but I can't worship God here. Rak b'chol makom tzrichim la'avod es Hashem. Rather, a Jew has to understand that wherever we are, there is the ability to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he goes on to explain, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu dafka gives us the Torah in the middle of nowhere. Because imagine, how did Ribbono Shel Olam, let's say, again, I always think the perfect setting for Kabbalah Satorah would have been where? Harabayis. Right, give a Harabayis, the future site to the Beis HaMikdash, everything happens on that mountain. Yitzchak Avinu was about to be offered as the Akedah, everything happens there. That's like the epicenter of the Jewish collective heart. Give us the Torah on Harabayis. Says the Piagets, no. Because had HaKadosh Baruch Hu given us the Torah in Har HaBayis, you would have thought what? You would have thought that Torah, Ruchnius, connection and relationship with God, can only occur in Eretz Yisrael. And that is unequivocally false. Now, is it true that one could feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Eretz Yisrael in a way that you can't feel Him outside of Eretz Yisrael? Sure. Eretz Yisrael is just a fundamentally different plane of existence. Thank you. Right? But lest you, we got an amen. Right? But lest you think that I could only have a relationship with God in Eretz Yisrael, it's unequivocally false. And what's the proof to that? The proof to that was the Torah was literally given in the middle of nowhere. So nowhere, it's such a nowhere, that I don't even know where it is today. Mamish, the location of Sinaitic revelation has disappeared into the sands of time. But says the Piagetsna, that's by design, to show you that Torah is not tethered to any geographic location. Torah is wherever you want it to be. Torah is wherever you want God is, you know, as the famous Kotzker goes. People ask, where is the Kadosh Baruch Hu, says the Kotzker? To which the Kotzker responds, wherever you choose to let Him in. That's where the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Wherever I am, the Ribbono Shel Olam is. Wherever I decide to let Him in, that's where HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. Shelo yeh lipcha chalak al hamakom. So it says the Piagetsna. That's what Rashi was asking. Rashi was saying, the Gemara saying, Ma Shmua Shama Uba. Why did Yisro have to come and join Klal Yisrael? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is anywhere and everywhere, let him call up Moshe. Say, Moshe, do me a favor. Send me over a Rebbe. Right? Why don't you just send me over someone. Let him come to Midian. I've got a nice big house. Right? I'm comfortable. Everything is fine. Everything is beautiful. I live a good life. I don't really need to join you guys on this journey in the desert. I mean, no offense. Call me when you get there. Tell me, maybe I'll catch up with you guys there. I don't, so mashmo shlomo, why did Yisro feel compelled to come? Because Yisro understood, says the Piyajetzna, that part of the greatness of Klal Yisro is that you can connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu wherever the journey in life takes you. Wherever you are, there's always God. If you want Him, it doesn't matter if you're in Midian, doesn't matter if you're in Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter if you're in the middle of the desert. If you want a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you want that, that is always accessible to you. So perhaps you could suggest that this is what I didn't do the Piyajetzna justice. You look at it inside yourself. But perhaps that's what David HaMelech is saying over here as well. Al tashlicheni milfanecha v'ruach kodshecha al tikach mimeni is not a request, but rather, again, it's a Davidic statement. And perhaps you could even say a Davidic demand. David HaMelech says, Yibono shel olam, we know how this works. You can't walk away from me. You can't get away from me because you have promised our people that what? Shelo yehe lipcha chalok al hamakom. You have promised us that wherever we are, you are always accessible to us. That if we want you, whether in Eretz Yisrael, Midian, or in the desert, we have access to you. Let's be honest with each other. Even if you wanted to walk away, God, and like I said, don't try this at home. This is David HaMelech could talk like this because of the nature of a relationship. But understand the starkheit in this dialogue. No, you're not going anywhere. No, it's not a plea. It's a statement. You cannot throw me away. Even if you want to go, even if you want to leave, you cannot leave me. You cannot forsake me. V'ruach kodshecha, atikach mimeni. Even my ruach hakodesh, Ribono shel Olam, the deal we have is that when the Jew wants you, you answer the call. It's not up to you, God. The relationship is not up to you. The dialogue is not up to you. The connection is not up to you. You promised us that wherever and whenever we are, we always have the ability to connect with you. It's not your choice to make. The only person who has decision-making possibilities, or I should say, power, in a relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is who? Is us. Only I have a choice. Moshe has no choice. He committed, kiviyachol. He committed himself to us. So, David HaMelech says, Moshe Olam, don't pretend like you have the option to walk away. You do not have the option to walk away. I want you in my life, and you've promised me that you're going to be. You know, my grandfather, Zichrono Livracha, said that that's the pshat. You know, we say in Hallel, we say, Ana Hashem, ki ani abdecha ben amasecha. So, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ana Hashem, please Hashem, ani abdecha ben amasecha, I am your eved, I am your servant, the son of your maidservant. Pitachta lemoseirai, you have opened my shackles. So, it doesn't make sense. I just said, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm your eved. I'm your servant, and my mother is your servant. So what does it mean? If I'm your servant, why are you opening up the shackles? So my grandfather said, I don't know who he said in the name of, but my grandfather told me, he said, the pshat in that is, that sometimes Ribono Shel Olam says, he opens the shackles, and he says, go, I don't want you anymore. You've mistreated me, you've hurt me, you've offended me, you've trampled all over me. So he says to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ani avdecha ben amasecha, pitach delemoseirai. You could open up the shackles all you want. You could tell me that I have to go. You could tell me you're done with me. I'm not leaving. We often think that it's we who are stuck with God. It's the opposite. It's the Ribono Shel Olam who is stuck with us. And so David HaMelech says, Ribono Shel Olam, I know I messed up big time. And I want to do tshuva. And I want to turn things around. And I want to change myself and I want to change my life. But let's be clear on one thing. Al tashlichi milfanecha, you cannot walk away from me. V'rach kodshecha al tikach mimeni. And ultimately, again, you have no right to remove your ruach hakodesh from my neshama. This is the great relationship we have with the Ribono Shel Olam. That no matter what we do, and again, it's God's fault. God put himself at a disadvantage. The Ribono Shel Olam did this to himself. When he gave us the Torah in the middle of nowhere, and essentially what he did is he said, I am tethered to you. No matter where you are, the reality is, He gave us the spiritual upper hand. And Baruch Hashem, He gave us that spiritual upper hand. Because that gives us the greatest confidence in life. The confidence of knowing that no matter what we do, no matter how badly we mess up, no matter how far we stray, the moment that we choose to open the door to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the moment we choose to reclaim that relationship with Him, the moment we choose to ask for our Ruach HaKodesh back, is the moment that He must oblige our requests, the moment that He must answer our call. And this should give us the chizuk. This was the chizuk of David HaMelech. David HaMelech finds the strength to rebuild himself even after a catastrophic fall, because he realizes that he doesn't have to find God, because God is always tethered to our side. That knowledge should give us the chizak also. Sometimes we wander, sometimes we stray, and sometimes we lose our way. And sometimes we think, will God ever want us back? That's the wrong question to ask, because it's not His choice. It's not the Ribbono Shel Olam's choice. It doesn't matter what He wants. It matters what He committed to. He committed to take us back. He committed to love us. He committed to open the door for us. All we need to do is want it. All we need to do is request, and I would dare say, all we need to do is demand it. And the moment we do that is the moment we have the ability to resume and recapture the relationship, no matter how difficult or how profound the fracture may have been. All right, we'll stop over here. Mirat Hashem, we're probably going to spend one more week on Kapitel Nun Aleph, and then Mirat Hashem will move on.